Welcome to Conversations. Lisa, it's a great joy to be with you here today.
Hey.
And here we are. We're coming into the springtime. I love it. But anyway, this I'm really excited about these next couple of conversations because we are going to talk about distractions, okay? And I think it's...
I just immediately feel guilty as soon as you say that word.
I know. Why is that? Why? Explain. I'll explain if you don't explain.
Well, let's go back to the why we're talking about distractions. We're talking about distractions that keep us from hearing from God.
Right. But why does Lisa specifically want to talk about distractions? Because
I am an Enneagram 7 and ENFP, and my major challenge in life is distractions.
Yes. But God gave you kind of a
Did you ask the team
husband.
To have this conversation with me?
No, this is really fun. So this is an area that I know is so, so important in our lives. Everybody can relate to it because I don't care if you're one of the most organized people on the planet, you're still going to fight.
Also a challenge for me.
You're still going to fight distractions. And everyone does because I personally believe it is one of the enemy's way to keep us out of being productive for the kingdom of God. And so
absolutely.
The number one thing that is a problem with distractions is it keeps us from hearing from God.
Right.
And, if you think about it, distractions are like chatter and noise. If I'm in a restaurant and they turn the speakers up really loud, I have a really hard time hearing a conversation that's going on when somebody's sitting three seats down across the table from me. And that's what it's like in the spirit world when we are easily distracted, when our mind is racing, going everywhere. And so this is so important because we're in a time period where people are like, I want to hear from God. And we're actually getting ready to release a course on that because this has been the number one cry, Lisa, mm-hmm. we've had from people is, how do you hear from God? Well, number one, we got to destroy distractions.
And this is, I love that this is a two-part series, so you're going to want to stay tuned. And I feel like I need to have a confession at the very front end of this. I don't know why I thought it was a good idea to fast and write a book at the same time. And embarrassingly enough, I gave way to distractions. My, you know how your phone will do a little report for you about your screen time? Well, my report said that during that time period when I was supposed to be writing, but I was feeling distracted, that my screen time was up by 90%.
Not 9%,
90%.
I got to tell you why this is a confession, because I was speaking at a very, very close friend's church. They have the largest, most influential church in the state of Hawaii. And I said, babe, if you come with me, I'm going to make sure that you're going to be writing and I'm going to be writing at the same time while we look at the ocean. And she was like, no, I got to get writing done. And so I was gone for all that time. And I came home and I found out that Mama Lisa was distracted.
Anyway. And one of the distractions.
True Confessions is over.
Thank you.
I love you.
Can I tell you,
it's one of the things that endears me to you. So
I hate it. I hate it about myself. Okay. So social media. Now, addiction, or it can be a distraction. And for me, it was kind of an escape. Like, I have so much to do and my brain isn't working. So I'm going to look at other people whose brain is working today. So I'm going to read some stats. The average person spends nearly 2 hours a day using social media, which amounts to, this is terrifying, 5 years and 4 months of his or her lifetime.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, no, 2 hours a day equals 5 years, 4 months of his or her lifetime.
Whoa, wait a minute. That's 5 years and 4 months, including sleep time.
Yeah. So in that,
that's a long
time. So this
time
is crazy, John. Listen to this. It says, in that time, a person could run more than 10,000 marathons or travel to the moon and back on 32 separate occasions. But who wants to do either of those things? I mean, seriously, they should have come up with a better comparison. I don't want to run 10,000 marathons.
But do you think 2 hours a day on social media will up your
intelligence,
your effectiveness,
your relationships?
I personally, I'm going to say this. I'm just going to just go out there. I think we should set a time limit on ourselves, just like parents do with their kids on the, let's say, the Wii station, of how much time we look at social media each day.
But I feel like
I'm just throwing that one out there.
Okay. Then it says teens who spend 5 hours. So the 2 hours was the crazy 5 year, 4 month. Teens who spend 5 hours a day on their phone are twice as likely to show depressive symptoms. And then a recent study found that being a young single female was most strongly associated with displaying addictive social media behavior. And that's interesting. See, my personality is when I look at social media, I don't feel alone. I don't. I feel like I've got friends in my house. I don't.
You
do
are hilarious.
I don't do that in comparison. It's like I'm home alone.
But what about when I'm right next to you?
I don't do my phone when I'm next to you.
Okay, we'll talk about that after the program.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I am not. I don't do that at all.
Okay.
Social media behavior also is strongly linked to narcissistic personality traits and low self-esteem, which actually that sounds like they would be the opposite of one another, because most of the people that are narcissistic think they're amazing. And then 71% of people sleep with or next to their mobile phones. Ooh. And then 50% of people driving while using smartphones are checking their social media.
That's scary right there.
That is scary. I've seen you do it.
I remember seeing a video of a truck driver who was changing his iTunes in a massive 18-wheeler and plowed into nine cars and killed what?
It was horrible.
It was horrible.
It was absolutely horrible.
And so can you imagine reading or social media posts while you're driving? Mm-mm. Oh, that's scary. But so we obviously got a problem, right, in mm-hmm. society. But social media is just a tool. And right. that's the way it needs to be looked at. So it's not a problem. Social media in itself, because
isn't the problem.
We effectively mm-hmm. try to use social media. So we are not, I want you to understand, we are not bashing social media. Just like, hey, food is good for you, but if you eat 9 times a day and everything is, you know, trans fats and all that stuff, you might have a problem. But anyway, it's our relationship with social media that becomes a problem. This desire to compare our daily lives to other people and their feedback is what creates the addictive cycle. And I heard from TED Talk or one of those things, that what it does is it releases the serotonin. And so this is why people love social media, because it literally releases all those feel-good endorphins. Yes. And so that can be part of the reason I think they go into a depressed state when they come off of it, because I'm not getting that constant high that I'm getting on my feedback on social media. But let's listen to scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this, "Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending or recommending themselves. But when they measure themselves," now listen to this, this is so powerful, "when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding." The New King James says they are unwise.
Right. Right.
And so we have to remember, this is something that Peter did when Jesus said the way he was going to glorify God in his death. He said, "Well, what about John?"
Yep.
He immediately went to
That's
comparing.
That's what I always say. What about John?
So, and Jesus said, "What is it to you?"
Yes.
If he remains until I come back in the second coming, right, you follow me.
Right.
And so Galatians 1:10 says this, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ."
Yeah. I mean, I want to go back to the 2 Corinthians 1 too, because it's interesting. And I really love, this was my banner scripture for Without Rival. Chapter 4 is, it has some C's in here. It's got classify, compare, and self-commend, the commending themselves. And all of those things end up causing us to compromise, because we are looking at what everybody else is doing instead of really leaning into the Holy Spirit and what God has us to do. And then you're talking about Galatians 1, and it's talking about the approval of man or the approval of God. And I think a lot of people think they're one and the same.
And they're not. And they're not. And, you know,
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I'll never forget, Lisa, when I was young. We were just married a year and a half. And I remember flying home. I was trying to build a ministry, and I was very insecure back then. And you remember, that was my biggest battle. And on the plane ride home, I read this scripture. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. Mm. And God spoke to me, and he said, "Do you want to send yourself? Do you want to promote yourself? Or do you want me to send you?" Mm-hmm. He said, "Because if you promote yourself, you'll have to maintain it." He said, "But if I send you, I will maintain it." And
that's exhausting.
And then on that same trip, Lisa, I saw this. The Holy Spirit led me over to where the angel announced the birth of John. Mm-hmm. And do you know what he said about him? He said, he'll be great in the sight of God. And I remember the Holy Spirit arrested me in that time period. And he said, do you want to be great in the sight of men? Or do you want to be great in the sight of God? And I made up my mind right there. I thought, whoa. And this was part of his process of delivering me from comparing myself, because that was one of my big challenges because of insecurity.
Do you think that's common with a lot of men?
I
know that we talked about social media, the women, you know, feeling like they are comparing themselves. But I do think that men do it in a different way.
I do. And especially young men, because today we have such a lack of affirmation from fathers. Mm. If you show me a young man who's been affirmed healthily by his father, corrected, you know, taught and affirmed, I will show you a young man who's secure and who is not constantly comparing himself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times young people are desperately looking for the affirmation that really should come from God. I mean, God said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. We have a heavenly father. Jesus paid a huge price to give us that relationship with him. If you spent a little more time with him in his presence, you would find him affirming you, because he thinks you're amazing because he created you. David said, I mean, here's a guy in the Old Testament. You weren't supposed to experience intimacy with God as a king, but David did. David crossed over into that prophetic realm. I mean, he wrote the Psalms and spoke prophetically about Jesus coming.
Even before he was a king, right?
Yeah, before he was a king and while he was a king.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what David said, he said, hey, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, that is not narcissistic. You know what that is? That is security in who you are in God.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in Christ. And when we try to compare ourselves with someone else, what we're actually doing is saying, is his version or her version better than me? And if his version or her version is better than me, then that means I don't like the way God created me. And the only reason you don't like the way God created you is because you haven't allowed him to affirm you. So if you were spending time with God in his presence rather than 2 hours a day on social media, you would hear him say, I'm pleased. I have heard God say in my heart many times, Lisa, son, I'm pleased with you. And you know that delivered me? You know, you were married to me. You remember how insecure I was. Well, today, I don't care what people think about me unless they are the people I have said speak into my life. They are leaders that, you know, like a Tommy Barnett, a Jack Hayford, our board members. I'm like, talk to me. You know, Craig Rochelle called me and said, John, I want to talk to you. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so I am very, very secure, even if everybody thinks I'm crazy. You know, I care about what my wife thinks. I care about what God says, and I care about what my leaders say. But if I start caring about what everybody else is saying about me, popular opinion, guess what? I'm becoming ineffective, because now I'm trying to please everyone. And just as Paul said, I'm no longer the servant of Christ.
Well, it's an impossibility too, because there's always going to be somebody that's not going to be happy about something you're doing. So you have to figure out, what is God saying? And I'm going to lean into that and not be distracted by everybody else. You know, Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And this would actually really lean into social media. I tend to follow people that what they post builds other people, not just the selfies of themselves and
That's
how
good,
cute
Lise.
They are, how cute their family is, how amazing their life is, how phenomenal they are. You know, I mean, I want that for everybody, but at the end of the day, the ones that really speak to me is people that share struggles that they've had, or scriptures that are speaking to them right now, or insights that the Holy Spirit is saying. And so I think sometimes we even need to be gatekeepers about these distractions. If this is somebody that they're making you feel like, gosh, I mean, I'm just a stay home breastfeeding mother and I'm not doing anything with my life, then maybe you need to say, okay, if they're not making you feel inspired and growing stronger in this season for your next season, then maybe you need to eliminate it as a distraction.
Yeah, that's really good. And then Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And it's just so important that, you know, I'm amazed at how many people don't read their Bibles. And I'm like, okay, can you just trade a half an hour of your social media time for reading the Bible? It's amazing. And I know social media is a little easier because we're on the fly, we're on the go, we got that screen in front of us.
But so are the Bible apps. I mean, there's everything.
They sure are. Yeah. And you can even have them talking to you. I mean, right. I have mine reading to me sometimes. So
we're just bleeding into the next thing. So John, what are practical ways to avoid comparing ourselves to other and then allowing social media to be a healthy influence?
Find out who you are in Christ. You can go through the New Testament and read all the scriptures that says in him. That's talking about who you are in him. Find out that your true identity is in Christ. It's not in how much better you are than someone else. They have what's called the tall poppy syndrome. And that's where if I cut everybody else down around me, it makes me taller than everybody else. Well, in essence, you may say, well, I'm not gossiping about everybody around me. Well, you might be in your mind thinking down about other people around you, which is making you feel better about yourself. You're drawing from the wrong source. The source should be God saying how much he affirms you getting in his presence. Now, what you're going to do is just the opposite, is you're going to try to build everybody around you. And what I've discovered is when I build people around me, it builds me. Absolutely. So I think, what about you, Lise? I mean, what do you do?
Well, same thing. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I've edited who I let speak into my life and be the gatekeeper on those kind of things. And then awareness and, you know, like, hey, if I'm not putting enough stuff in my spirit, I feel really dry. So I have an awareness that, hey, I'm feeling dry. So what I'm not putting enough in.
That's good, Lise.
You know, we got a listener I'm just going to say, we love hearing from you. But Nico said, I am encouraged daily on my drive to work. I love that you two are transparent. Okay. She heard the confession. Honest and stick to scripture. Thank you for covering all topics. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that, Nika. And I want you to know we love you to review us. We love to answer your questions. So please be sure to drop us a note on iTunes in the comment section. And as always, we would so appreciate it if you would rate the show. It actually helps us reach more people. Subscribe to this on iTunes and then get ready for the second part on distractions. I promise, John, I will not have a 90% increase on my screen times between now and part two. We have a new course releasing and it is all about hearing from God.
So
this was
important.
The number one thing we heard, isn't it, John?
Yes, it is.
And tell me what you felt about the course.
I thought it went phenomenal. We brought Rabbi Brian on as a guest and I think some of our sons were on
and
team members. So it was phenomenal.
So if you want help overcoming distractions and learn how to hear from God, be sure to go to messengercourses.com and check that out. Until next time, this has been Conversations with John and Lisa.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.